just what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant.
But he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky
hopes. So anytime you're getting low, instead of letting go, just remember that ant. Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant. Silly old ram thought he'd punch a hole in a dam. No one could make that ram scram. He kept butting that dam, 'cause he had high hopes. He had high hopes.
Come fly with me. Let's fly. Let's fly.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Gathering Offering, and I welcome those with eyes and ears. This is Jerry Kirk, and today is February 11th, 2010, in pagan time. In the Lord's time, it would be expressed as the 111th Jubilee, the third week, the fourth year, the 12th month, and the 10th day. As always, at the beginning, there's a responsibility and a duty when I am attempting to talk to people about the Lord's business. Therefore, I shall begin. Our Father who art in heaven, I praise you and I bless you, as I praise and bless your only begotten Son, the Christ. I ask you today to allow the individuals with eyes and ears to not only see, but to gather up some courage, to gather up some get ready to go, to get ready to do something, Lord, for them to hear, especially the last half of this half hour, sir. Allow them to begin to root out evil out of this land, sir. Thank you so much, and as always, Father, it shall be your will that is done, and not just what I may ask you. Thank you so very much. Ladies and gentlemen, today, at about 7 minutes after the top of the hour, we're going to have a guest host on. We're going to try again to get somebody on. Now, I was assured on Monday by Nicholas Arthur that they had had the telephone company out last week and worked on the telephone lines for 2 or 3 days, and that the technical problems probably have been squared away. So I sure hope so. I also would like to let you all know that I don't really have a hearing problem. It's just that when there is no sound coming out, I can't hear no sound. Most people actually think that I have fairly good hearing when I used to harvest deer. I actually would keep my eyes closed and hunt with my ears. So I don't think it's my ears that are having a problem. But anyway. All right, we're going to be having a gentleman on by the name of Lewis Ewing. Now, Lewis has found a way and learned a way to have a bar card at the federal court level, and he has not gone to law school. And I do not believe that he's passed the bar exam. And I find that rather interesting. Lewis told me that he had started getting on with his work and things of this nature about 10 years ago. But about 7 years ago, he really bared down. He quit chewing bubble gum. And he's now dedicated to assisting people. And also, as a little bit of a degree of this man's toughness, prior to doing this and at other times during this man has had to go out to make a living for his wife and children on the crabbing boats off of the West Coast. And that is actually the most dangerous job that occurs in this country. The highest percentage of injuries and death rates. So this man's not a coward. He's willing to stand up and to do something. And he's going to be trying to share with us something relative to the United States Constitution. Something that I've heard about, but I have not seen with my own eyes. So I'm looking very much forward to when Lewis calls in, y'all listening to him. Now, he's not going to be on a real long time, and he won't be giving out a website, but you're very welcome to Google his name, Lewis Ewing, up in the Washington State area. And if you want to look into any of his stuff, he does have a website. But I won't give the website out because I don't do that stuff. Anyway, I don't have a computer. I haven't seen his material, so I cannot endorse it. But by the same token, I cannot disendorse it because I don't have a computer. But I have talked to him on four or five occasions, and I've enjoyed the conversations. And I hope that you will enjoy what he has to offer to you today. Now, as soon as Lewis and I get through visiting, we're going to be going into Chapter 6 of this little adventure. Chapter 6 is going to be entitled Man's Laws. Are they valid? Are they Antichrist? And the first thing we're going to take on is certain parts of the Constitution of the United States of America. So it fits in with having Lewis in here and being able to talk with him. And I want you to think, is the United States 6 plus 6? Is the Constitution of the United States really what you think it is? And I want you to ponder that as we get ready to go into this today. Have you really learned everything there is about the Constitution of the United States of America? How many of them are there? Is there more than one? Are there three? Are there four? Are there five? Was there ever a corporation called the United States of America, which was a subtitle, or the Virginia Company became the United States of America prior to the Constitution of the United States of America? Has anybody ever looked into that? Were there other corporations known as the United States of America? I think if you look into it, you'll actually find that there were other corporate United States of America prior to the so-called Constitution of the United States of America. That would be rather interesting, wouldn't it? Did they teach you that in history classes? Did they teach that to you in college, in high school? Does that ever occur in your classwork? I really don't think that was taught to me. Not in elementary school, junior high school, or college. Had to learn it after that. What did they not want me, and why did they not want me to know this stuff when I was in school? And why do they not want you to know this? Well, that's sort of like the $64,000 question. And we're going to be hitting on a little bit of that today. So anyway, I had hoped that by now on my watch that I would have heard from Lewis, so maybe he's got tied up in traffic or something like that.
I'm here.
Oh, hey, Lewis. Glad to hear you're here. How you doing?
Okay. I called in. I didn't want to interrupt your speech. I thought somebody would answer when I called. So.
Well, I was under the impression that someone was going to, you know, be there and adjust your volume and things of that nature for you. Can you hear very well?
I hear you just fine.
Okay. You're just a little bit light on my end, so if you could just a little bit louder. I seem to have trouble hearing the phone.
I can speak a little louder. How's that?
From the station.
How's that? I'm speaking louder now. Does that work?
Yeah, that's working better. Thank you.
Okay.
Anyway, Lewis, with respect to the Constitution of the United States of America, would you possibly relate to me what I believe you and another gentleman took a trip and where it was and so forth? Would you relate that to the audience?
Sure. It was Lloyd Smith, Kurt Regan and Tim Zepke and I were viewing took a trip to Washington, D.C. to the National Military Archives. And keep in mind, the archives, when you looked it up in a legal dictionary, it's a place where they put documents that are no longer in use. And our RCW statute defines our archives in Olympia, Washington, as a place that they put documents that are no, not only not in use, but are scheduled for destruction. And the one in Washington, D.C. is entitled the National Military Archives. And the main archivist in Washington, D.C., Rodney Ross, told me that the U.S. Constitution that they have there on display under a glass case has been there since 1860 when martial law was first declared. That Constitution doesn't go past the 12th Amendment. There's no 13, no 14, no 15, no 16, or any of the later amendments.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you, where did you say you located that again?
In Washington, D.C. I personally, with Lloyd Smith and Kurt Regan and Tim Duffy, went to Washington, D.C. on two separate occasions over, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, two separate trips a week at a time. We researched in the National Military Archives.
And why would we think that our Constitution be it would be in the National Military Archives? Is anybody out there listening thinking about that? Why would it be in the National Military Archives? Go ahead, Lewis, please.
Well, the archives is a place where they put documents that are no longer in use. And that was required by the 5th article of the Reconstruction Act, which ordered all the new states to put new constitutions into effect. So, obviously, they got rid of the old constitution. The old governments were destroyed, and something was being reconstructed, which is called a new union in the Reconstruction Act.
And can you tell us one more time, you know, the last couple of amendments that seem to appear there and the ones that don't seem to appear there anymore?
Well, the Constitution that's under glass seal being guarded by a black-booted thug with an AK-47 while the group of people was walking by in a circle, kind of a podium-shaped building where they were walking by the Constitution, I scooted up to the side of it to try to read it, and I was reading it. The black Buddhist thug said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm reading the Constitution." The black Buddhist thug with the AK-47 said to me, "The Constitution's not to read, it's to look at." And that's what most people do today. They look at words like pictures, and they don't read it. But I discovered that Constitution does not go beyond the 12th Amendment. There's no 16th Amendment authorizing income taxes on the valid U.S. Constitution, because that's not the Constitution you're looking at. Everybody across the country, every patriot group, expatriation group, state citizen group, all the attorneys are all citing not only the wrong U.S. Constitution, but they're also citing the wrong state constitution, because that's what we were mainly researching when we went to archives. We were researching the state constitutions. I'm the guy that discovered here in Washington that we have two separate constitutions. And I'm the guy that discovered that the 1878 Walla Walla Constitution was the one and only constitution that was presented to Congress for admission to Washington State into statehood. And it was printed or ordered to be published 50,000 copies by the 50th Congress, second session, miscellaneous document in the congressional records on January 28, 1889. Is the valid constitution, the only one that went to Congress, but it's not the same one that's in the current RCW state statute book. And we discovered the same thing is true across every single state in the United States. Every state in the United States has suspended their original de jure valid constitution, put it into the archives division of the Secretary of State's office. In fact, I started sending out an email last night to my 50 states email list telling people you need to take a trip to the archives in your capital. Ask the main archivist, you know, what is the main purpose of the archives? Can you please give me a copy of the statute or mission statement that creates the office of the archives and tell what its purpose is? And when you read it, you're going to discover the archives is where they put documents that are no longer in use and are scheduled for destruction. And holy moly, how could they just take our state constitution and put it over there? There was no law authorizing that, no congressional enactment. The people didn't vote on it, but all the attorneys who are members of all the 50 state bar associations got together in conspiracy and collusion and said, let's just do this. And they took our original constitution, put them into archives. They convened second constitutional conventions to frame a second constitution, which was not approved by the voters. The meetings were closed doors to the public in violation of even our current Open Public Meeting Act. And in all the states, they stuffed a second, third, fourth. Even in like Alabama, I think in Arkansas and Michigan, they have six constitutions.
Lewis, when you made that trip to Washington, was there another man with you, somebody else that knew you by chance?
Lloyd Smith, Kurt Riggin, and Tim Duffy.
So in other words, you weren't by yourself and you weren't just making this up and other people were there with you?
Yes.
Now, just offhand, how many people in the territorial land mass of the United States would you actually think have even heard about anything like this?
Probably 100 people in Washington State, but, you know, they're just people that attend Patriot meetings, and they're there for their weekend Patriot kicks, and then they go back to their 9-to-5 job during the week, and they forget everything they heard.
So maybe one out of a million people in this country are even aware of this. Would you, just as a wild guess?
Yeah, and then to them, it's like, what's the difference between this constitution or another constitution? It's just another piece of paper, toilet paper, like former President Bush said.
Was that the only thing that he was accurate in his whole term of presidency? It's the only thing I know he actually told the truth about.
Yes, probably.
Lewis, I do want to ask you one or two more questions, if I might, please. Do you go in front of federal judges and do law?
I could if I wanted to. I'm not currently doing that. What I do is I make my living undercutting attorneys, and I prepare boilerplated documents for pro se litigants, and I completely replace an attorney and replace a paralegal on paperwork where I can send any John Doe pro se litigant into court and they can win their own cases. And if you look up my name is Lewis Ewing, L-U-I-S-E-W-I-N-G. Google my name.
Yeah, just so they Google. We can't give out websites here.
No,
now, Lewis, I'm just trying to get the point across because I wanted people to understand you're not some kind of wild-eyed crazy that's, you know, drinking a half a gallon of booze every day, homeless, you know. You're not a communist, are you, anything like that, are you?
I hope not.
Okay, well, good. I just didn't want anybody to think you're some kind of wild-eyed lunatic, but you have done this and you've had other witnesses there.
Well, people that are politically correct, people that are politically correct in the system, people call people like you and me a patriot or a constitutionalist because I drive with no driver's license, and I've been doing that successfully since 1996. I beat all my tickets. I put out flyers with my name and address and home phone number and whatnot that says I drive with no license, no insurance, no seatbelt, and smoke pot, and so can you. And the cops know where I live. I've served all the local county sheriffs, local state patrol, local chief of police, okay? I've got 3 warrants currently for my arrest for various things. The cops know where I live. They won't come pick me up because I've already beaten the cases on paperwork. And what would be the point of bringing me into court, you know, on an expired warrant unless they want to be joined to, you know, a false arrest lawsuit for arresting me for a crime that has no validity when I've already beat the case on paperwork? The courts don't want me in their court. That's the reason why they don't haul me in on any warrant that I have.
Well, Lewis, I do want to thank you. I realize that, you know, ladies and gentlemen, Lewis had to call in and talk to me about 3:30. He had to take time out of his day and, you know, I really don't have anything lined out for today where I would have a guest all day. I do have a lesson material to go over. And I want to thank you very much, Lewis, for calling in and sharing this with everybody. And I hope everybody will go back and listen to the archives because Lewis put out a ton of information. And I think that if you listen to it a second time or maybe even a third time, you're going to get a lot more out of it. Right now, it's kind of foreign in your head. Go back and listen to the archives, which should be posted up sometime tomorrow, and listen to Lewis, what he's told you. Listen to these dates. Listen to what's missing. That's how we learn. We re-listen and we re-listen. Lewis, thank you very much for calling in, and thank you for donating your time to the gathering offering.
One last statement, Jerry, to supplement to that, I can prove that the states no longer are not states in existence anymore. It's all federal, one complete federal judicial system, and we actually been put back into a territorial status. State of Washington, like every other state, should be called Territory of Washington. We are under territorial law, and I can prove it.
Right. All right, man. Thanks. I appreciate you giving us a holler. You have a great day, all right?
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks a bunch.
Bye.
You know, we're on the subject of a constitution here. I want to tell you something I discovered back in 1989 and a half. I had done a study, and during the course of that study, I discovered that there were three separate constitutions given out right after the so-called Constitutional Convention. There was a copy given to the North Atlantic, to the Mid-Atlantic, and the South Atlantic. And they had different verbiage, different words. Those constitutions are housed at Virginia and West Virginia University. And only a member of the bar, the American Bar Association, is allowed in the room to look at. So I and a retired judge named Bob Webster, we took this information to an attorney named Johnny McLeod out of Apopka, Florida. Johnny passed away a couple years ago. But in the 90s, he went up there and he took a look at it. Now, he thought we were kind of crazy when we told him about this. And by the way, Mr. McLeod did tons and tons of pro bono work in Central Florida. And this man was not a rich man. And his heart was out to taking in and providing justice for people. And he worked very hard. Well, after he went up and he looked at that, he came back and he called the other attorneys in the law firm into an office with Judge Webster and I. And Johnny was almost beside himself. He said, it really does exist. Three different constitutions. And they have different verbiage. Now, that it was a little bit strange, isn't it? Now, those days was about 1991, 92 when he actually made the trip. Now, I don't have a bar card, and I've never seen it. But I am abundantly aware of the fact that Johnny McLeod was an honorable gentleman, and he would not have lied. And if you would have seen his face when he related this to three or four other attorneys and Judge Webster and I, you would have known how much this hurt him to find this out. And you have to understand, it hurt me pretty bad to find it out. But the seeking of knowledge and wisdom and understanding is a hurtful thing when we find out that we've been lied to and deceived to. And so I thought I'd share that with you, and you might, you know, when you listen to the archives, stop and think about that. And this is real simple, folks. All you have to do is find somebody in West Virginia or Virginia who's a member of the bar, get him to go look at it. Go hunt it down. Virginia and West Virginia University, member of the Bar Association, he ain't going to have no trouble finding out where they're housed, in what building, and how to get it done. We didn't tell Johnny McLeod which building or how to get it done. He just went up there, took a look, walked around, showed his bar card, and got in the right building. It can be done, and all you have to do is find a decent attorney that will do the investigation. Or if an attorney's listening, he can do it. You can't write him a letter. You got to actually show that active bar card to be able to see the fraud that went on to the people of this country. Think about that a little bit. Now, we're going to start on today, Chapter 6, Man's Laws. Are they valid? Are they Antichrist? And I'm read part of a verse to you. But they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. That's the Christ speaking, the Lord speaking. 1 Samuel, chapter 8, verse 7. Read you one more verse. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Joshua, chapter 24, verse 15. Now, we're going to do part A of chapter 6 today. and that's entitled The Constitution of the United States of America. Is it really what you think it is? Is it 6 plus 6? Kind of a strange, you know, why would somebody say, is it 6 plus 6? Wow. I lost my mind. Well, let's see before the end of this, you know, 1 hour is over, whether or not we can get to that. In the preamble of the Constitution of the United States, it says, we the people of the United States. It does not say the individual 13 states or colonies. It says, we the people. In order to form a more perfect union. Oh, they're forming a more perfect union. Establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, provide for the general welfare, blah, blah, blah. Do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. So the people, they say, did it in the preamble. But can anybody show me where the people got a chance to vote on it? Can you show me where it was published in all the papers and where everybody got a chance to look at it? It didn't happen. So how did the people ordain and establish this thing? Because the people didn't do it. They had supposedly some state houses do it. However, if you check the records, they have a date that so many people, 9 of them had to do it by a certain day. You find that only 6 individual states ever did that by the required time frame. Now, how do you learn this stuff? You write one of the 13 original states or colonies, and you ask them for the enabling legislation to have a constitutional convention. Enabling legislation means authorization. You know, what are the rules and regulations for you guys to get together and say that the people are doing this when the people didn't do it? Something like 42 of these guys were Masonic Lodge members. They brag, and openly today they tell you that these guys were deists, multiple God believers. But they're our founding fathers. Oh, my God, am I slurring our founding fathers? Well, they were deists. That's their own words, their own writings say. How can I slur them? They didn't believe in the Father in heaven. They believe in deities, many gods. That's what they said. I'm not making this up. That's what they said. You can read it. We've got like 1 minute before we get to the bottom of the hour, and I want you to think about it a little bit. Did the people do this? Did they vote for it? Absolutely not. Isn't that amazing? We the people, but the people never got a chance to vote about it. As a matter of fact, I don't think 1% of them even got the chance to look at it. It was all done in secret. Think about that. Isn't that rather amazing? That this is what we call America, the land and a land of the free and the brave.
Just the toy balloon, they'll be bursting soon. They're just bound to go pop.
Oops, there goes another problem curve.
Oops, there goes another problem curve.
Oops, there goes another problem curve.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net, around the world and on satellite. Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen, there's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty, to ourselves and to our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, and regular guest, world-renowned economist Robert Chapman, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
Hi, Nicholas here. I used to lug those big jugs to the market to fill with water from those coin-operated filter machines, 25 cents a gallon or 5 gallons for a buck. I used to. Then I got the Big Berkey. Now I save my back and hundreds of dollars, too. I was paying $600 for the same 3,000 gallons of water that a pair of black Berkey filters will provide from my own tap for only $99. This means that your Berkey water system will entirely pay for itself with only 1,500 gallons of use, and then you will still have 1,500 gallons left before you need to replace the filters. Do the math. Stop throwing your money away on bottled water and filter dispensers that may or may not be delivering as promised. For a limited time, First Amendment Radio is offering 10% off on the most popular Berkey water systems. Visit the shopping page at firstamendmentradio.com or call us at 559-781-3773 for more information. Leave your name and address and we'll send you this special offer. Do it now. First Amendment Radio is an authorized distributor of Berkey products.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from firstamendmentradio.com. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Order online today at firstamendmentradio.com or call 559-781-3773. Who will tell them if not you?
Once I get you up there where the air is rarefied, we'll just glide starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so very near, you might even hear a whole gang of cheers just because we're together. Weather-wise, it's such a cuckoo day. You just say those words and we'll take our birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's so perfect for a flying honeymoon. Oh, babe, come fly with me. Let's fly, let's fly. Pack up, let's fly away.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the gathering offering for the second half hour. This is the sixth week of a 26-week little course, little adventure. And I want to stress that the paperwork to this course is available at freedom-school.com at no charge. If you are just listening to the verbiage that is on this one-hour deal, you're not going to get the point of the course. And if you're just trying to read this off of a computer screen, you're not going to get it either. The flashing of the screen is going to mess you up. It's not going to stick in your mind. You need to download this onto paper. And what we're doing is we're building a notebook and we're filling it in. And I go from one area to another area to another area to give you a little taste of this and a little taste of that. Now, in the last couple of weeks, I've had a number of individuals call me and say, you know, Jerry, when I actually downloaded it, and then when I went and looked up what you're talking about and read it in the references, and then I got it. But there's one more thing you got to do. You got to sit down without the radio, the TV, the telephone bothering you, and you got to have some peace and quiet. You got to think about this stuff. You got to have some time for contemplation. And if you're not doing this, you're just kind of like getting emotional or fired up. You're not really getting on solid ground. You need to learn this on a solid basis. You need to get eyes wide. And by that same token, there's been a number of folks saying, well, hurry up and do this and hurry up and do that. Well, let me make it perfectly clear. I'm trying to tell you that you need to look at everything in the 26 weeks before you make your decisions of what you do. I want to remind you to listen to the last 90 seconds of music at the end of this one-hour little adventure. It says, don't rush in. Hold your horses. So forth. That's why I put that on there, so maybe it'd calm you down a little bit. We're going to get there. But, you know, there's just no way I can just download everything, you know, in 2 seconds into your mind. So I hope you'll please consider that. Now, in this country, I hear people on the radio, on the TV, in the streets, people I talk to, and they're all the time telling me that something's not constitutional. They are absolutely convinced it's not constitutional. Well, you know, in this country, the only individuals that are allowed to tell you for a fact what is constitutional or what is not constitutional, either one of the two, is them black robes in Washington, D.C. Anybody else that wants to say this is constitutional or not constitutional is demonstrating the fact that they have no knowledge of how this system works in this country. They're demonstrating their ignorance. And all they're doing is participating in fear-mongering, rumoring, and, golly, their own individual interpretations. It's about time we start realizing that the entire, everything in our lives is ruled by a bunch of black robes in Washington, D.C. If the president does something, the black robes don't like it. The black robes tell him you can't do it. Congress says, we don't like what you're doing. They take in, black robes say, Congress, you can't do this. Those are your gods, the black robes. Think about it just a little bit. Now, in the Constitution, let's take a look at something. Start right at the beginning. Article 1, Section 1. All legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in a Congress of the United States. Now, if you have all the water in a cup, and you put one more drop of water in it, that one more drop will come out. All means all. What was left over for your individual states? Remember, it says, we the people did this thing. Can you find anything in there in the Constitution that says, golly gee, we're allowed to have state constitutions? Well, actually, you can. You say that Article 1, Section 10, and it allows states to do a number of things. And then you read the end of it, providing there is a consent of Congress. If your state says, we won't do this, they have to apply to Congress and make sure it's okay. Article 4, Section 1, allows them to have things like such acts, records, and proceedings shall be provided in the effect thereof after. And then it says, Congress may by general law prescribe the manner in which such acts are done. So here, you know, even you're recording your proceedings, Congress is telling your states how to do it. Now, the one that gets a little more interesting is as you read a part in here, it says, anything in the Constitution or laws of any state, to the contrary, notwithstanding. Now, did you ever take and go a little slower on that? Notwithstanding. To the contrary, notwithstanding. That's a double negative. Cancels out your states. If there's something contrary in your state constitution, it's canceled out right there. Isn't that interesting? You can take and go right on through to your executive power. This is all executive power vested in the president. There ain't nothing left over there for your governor. Go look at Article 3. This is the real neat one. This is the cool one. All judicial power shall be vested in one Supreme Court, and in such inferior courts as the Congress from time to time ordain and establish. Now, you may think you've got a state Supreme Court. You may think you've got an appellate court. You may think you have a circuit court. Try a little exercise. I've done it. get in front of a circuit court and ask them where they get their authority. They'll say the appellate court. Ask them where the appellate court gets their authority. They'll say from your state Supreme Court. And then you say, great, that's great to know. Now show me the act of Congress where Congress approved the Arkansas State Supreme Court or the California State Supreme Court or the Texas State Supreme Court. You want to watch a case go bye-bye? Because they've never, ever authorized and ordained anything in your individual state. Now, you want to move back to legislation? You want to move back to executive power? You want to move back to judicial power? Go to your attorney general's office in your individual state and go to your state house. And go in there and require, through using the proper forms, and you, where it says request, you mark that out and say, I require. And take a look at all the attorney general's memorandums to the governor, to the speaker of your house, and to your Senate pro tem, the leader of your Senate, and look at all the times that your AG says, we have to change these state laws to be in accordance with federal law, and then see how much discussion goes on in your state legislature when those changed laws go up. See if you read about them in your newspaper. See if you hear about them on your local TV. If you're doubting Thomas, go do some homework. And you'll learn very clearly. I've done it, and I was absolutely flabbergasted. I said, oh, my God, I actually do know how to read. You have to learn how to read, ladies and gentlemen, for content. When you take and you read for interpretation, interpretation means that I can think one thing, you can think another thing, and everybody down the street and around the corner, everybody can have a different thought. Because that's interpretation. And that's what they teach you in the public fool system. In the Word of God, it's called, and every man walked after the imagination of his own heart. One of the ways that you begin to learn how to read for content is you take a sentence and you diagram it. You remember, do anybody remember in elementary school where we, you know, drew a line and we had a noun and then we had made a little slash mark and we had a verb and then we had another slash mark and then we had an adverb. Then we had adjectives, or object of the sentence, excuse me. Then we had adjectives and adverbs and prepositional phrases and things of that nature. That's how you learn how to read for content, ladies and gentlemen. And I really think that most folks would have a real hard time if they had to diagram some sentences. I don't know what you think. Now, I want to move into Article 1, Section 2, Paragraph 2. And this could be a lot of fun. Now, the people that have the paperwork downloaded, they can read, and you know, but the other people, I'm going to read this out loud to them. Article 1, Section 2, Paragraph 2. No person shall be a representative who shall not have attained to the age of 25 years. Been 7 years a citizen of the United States. Golly, I think I can understand that pretty good. 25, 7 years citizen of the United States. That's not too real hard. Now let's listen to this last part. And who shall not, when elected, be an inhabitant of that state in which he shall be chosen. Okay, so here we go. We got Billy Bob, congressman. And y'all elect him into office. He goes up to Washington, D.C. Now, when he's up there, he's not allowed to be an inhabitant from the state where he was elected from. So the question is, how did he re-register? How did he re-qualify to run for office for a second term? Anybody thought about that? I have. And in my paperwork, I go into it when I found out about this, and I went down and I asked my dad. I said, Dad, look at this. My dad said, well, son, I wish you'd never seen this before. And I said, what? He said, well, I hoped you wouldn't learn this. I said, what? And I said, Dad, you mean you knew about this? He says, yeah, I learned it when I was in law school, but outside the classroom. And I said, well, what have you done about it, Dad? And he looked at me with the worst look I've ever seen, I think, on his face, and he says, what can we do about it? And I said, you know, I don't know what I can do about it, but damn it, I'm going to do something about it. And a few months later, there was a big Republican meeting in Orange County, Florida, Orlando, Florida. And there were about 1,500 people. Maybe there was more. And I went to the microphone. And there was a Senator Connie Mack, whose real name was Cornelius McGillicuddy. I did some research on that, and he never had his name legally changed. But that's how he ran under an alias, Cornelius McGillicuddy. You might check out how many of your congressmen and senators have an alias that they're running into political office with. And I read him. Actually, it was Article 1, Section 3, Paragraph 3, because he was a senator. He was a two-term incumbent. And I read that to him. And I asked him, did you take an oath to keep your, you know, to keep the Constitution, laws, and so forth? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, how come you're running for office again? Well, everybody in the meeting, they just jumped and screamed and yelled, and they started saying that I had a fake copy of the United States Constitution. My response was, you mean in this big meeting, y'all folks don't have a real accurate copy? Oh, they ran around, they found 4, 5, 6, 7 of them in just a jiffy. And the speaker, the main guy at this Republican meeting, he started to read it, and I said, well, why don't you let the senator read it? Senator read it. And you know what happened? Then all of a sudden, after he read it, everybody got it. And then people started clapping and cheering for me. I couldn't believe that either. A few months after that, Connie Mack withdrew from running for senator. Now, what one man can do, another man can do. And I want you to listen to something, maybe, for the next 75 seconds, please. And I'm changing a little bitty thing. I'm real technical here. I got a cassette tape. That's all I got.
My brother took a monkey for a ride in the air. The monkey thought that everything was on the square. The brother tried to throw the monkey off his back, but the monkey grabbed his neck and said, now listen, Jack. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top. Ain't no use in diving. Choking me, release your hold and I will set you free. The monkey looked the brother right dead in the eye and said, your story's so touching, but it sounds just like a lie. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and stay right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top.
Now, let's see. Now, I ain't a monkey. And you're not a monkey. But you know what? We can grab these buzzards by the throat. We can look them dead in the eye. And we can tell them to quit lying to us. And all you got to do is be man enough, woman enough, and every single incumbent member of the House, and every single incumbent member of the Senate in this fall's coming election, every time they speak, be there. Act like a gentleman. Act like a lady. Don't have a chip on your shoulder. Ask them about their oath of office and read the appropriate, either Article 1, Section 2, or Article 1, Section 3, about the representative or senator. One or two people can do this, and then watch what happens to the crowd. Either there's some kind of group, fractured group out there called Tea Party people. People, you got your ammo right here. Look them in the eye. Be a gentleman, be a lady. Have your copy of the Constitution and read it to them word for word. Explain it to them. Watch what happens to the crowd. Grab these people by the throat. Look them in the eye. Let them know that they're liars. This is your term limitation. Go back to the history records. There has never been a lawful Congress since the first one. There has not been a U.S. Supreme Court decision on this as far as I've ever been able to find. Love to have somebody find one where the U.S. Supreme Court said, hey, we're just going to ignore Article 1, Section 2, Paragraph 2. Section 2, Paragraph 2. We're going to ignore Section 3, Paragraph 3. Pull a Connie Mack on them. Stand up. It was me and maybe four or five individuals that knew me. The rest of them thought they hated me till I got through talking. And I wouldn't have given a rat's toenail if they had jumped on me and beat me to death. Stand up. We ain't monkeys. We're men. We're women. Grab the buzzards by the throat. Look them dead in the eye. And let them know they're liars. Remove them from office. Run them out without going to court. Don't allow them to speak anywhere without bringing this up as a lady and a gentleman with a proper demeanor, without a chip on your shoulder. Get hard in your heart. Stop this crap going on in this country. What one man can do, another man can do, and another woman can do. Wake up. Open your eyes. Open your ears. I call them D-seers. Dysfunctional critters. The song called them buzzards. What do buzzards do? That when you, they pick you clean. They take your skin. They take your tissue. They eat your guts out. And they stink. Buzzards stink. They carry disease. That's what a dysfunctional critter is. And people have been talking about for decades and decades. Well, we're going to elect a small bunch of new guys. By how many decades do you have to go back and find out this has never happened, people? You got 5 to 10% of the people in this country that have got anything hanging between their legs called testicles. I don't know what women have got. I call it they got a 2x4 strapped across their back. I don't know what a woman has that makes her strong and without fear. A man's supposed to have something, you know, hanging between his legs. He's not supposed to be a coward. He's not supposed to back down. He's supposed to stand up and say, you guys are criminals. It says clearly here, show me a U.S. Supreme Court case, senator or representative, where the Constitution has been devoided. Where have they ruled and said, hey, you guys just run forever? You can run them out by just standing up and letting them know there's one man or one woman standing there that's not afraid. And watch how the other people will gain some strength by your strength, by your demonstration of courage. Study this. Don't just walk down there and do it. Get two or three people and have one of them be Connie Mack, be your senator. And talk it out. Well, work through it three or four or five times. And when you get up there, you're going to have adrenaline pumping through you, and you're going to have butterflies and all that kind of stuff. But as soon as you start talking, them butterflies and that adrenaline's just going to melt away. And when you're talking, make sure that you slow down your words. And make sure that you take a nice deep breath every once in a while. Fill your lungs. Relax. Enjoy it. This is fun. This is adventuresome. But you ain't got nothing hanging between your legs. Don't do it. You don't want to do a little rehearsal? Don't do it. If you're a coward, don't do it. Matter of fact, if you're a coward, don't even listen to this gathering offer. And I don't want any cowards listening. I'm only wanting to talk to individuals with eyes and ears. Individuals that want to work hard. Individuals that are tired of being raped by taking our land, by taking our money, by taking our women, being our grandmas, our mothers, and our daughters, our sisters, and walking them through an airport and taking their clothes off with a machine. What kind of? I haven't been. You know, I was aware of this in 1994 in Orlando. It's one of the first ones there. I wouldn't get on their plane. I wouldn't do that. If I wouldn't let my wife, or if I had a daughter or grandmother or anybody like that, I wouldn't let them do that. I wouldn't let somebody look at my women's private parts. And we're allowing this in this country? Come on, folks. 5 or 10% of us can do this. Stand up. Read this. In the last couple minutes, in Article 7, Paragraph 2, and the independence of the United States of America, V-12. Read it yourselves. And of the independence of the United States of America, V-12. So please tell me about the 11 previous independences of the United States of America, all you constitutional scholars. All you people that claim to know the Constitution, tell me what it is. I'm not going to tell you today. I want you to think about it. It says, the independence of the United States of America, V-12. So if this is the 12th, what was the 11 before that? Have you heard that on anybody else's little adventure, their one-hour radio program? Go look it up. One guy I was talking to, he didn't even have there was only one sentence in his copy of the Constitution. He didn't even have a real copy of the so-called Constitution. It's up to you, us, ladies and gentlemen. It's not up to us to say, oh, well, we're going to get the sheriff, and we're going to get this person. We're going to have 10,000 people to do it. One individual can make one hell of a lot of difference. And you can do it. You just make sure if that congressman or that senator comes to your city or your county or anywhere close to you, go ask him, confront him, grab the buzzards by the throat, look them in the eyes, and let them know they're liars. And you know what? When you shine the light of the Lord on them, they're going to run into the corners and the cracks just like the cockroaches they are. Golly gee. Y'all have a great day. Hope you think about it. Would be a crime. 'Cause nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it every time. Like the man says one more time. Nice and easy.